Find the survey at WISO.org. Let's keep WISO strong. Thanks.
7 minutes after 2 o'clock on a gorgeous day in the Miami Valley, I think made ever so much more so by our guest here today. He's going to be performing tonight at the Glen Helen Building here in Yellow Springs, also known as Vernet Ecological Institute. Show begins at 7 o'clock. We get a sneak peek. It's my pleasure to welcome Andrew Calhoun.
Spring has come again, and the men are upholding their manhood, and the dogs are going to the dogs. They haven't spoken in a month. The neighborhood is changing a little. Some roads are in disrepair. Spring has come again. Marcia goes on saying she can't go on. Tyler's tending bar. Hugh and Cindy are getting a divorce in another car. We haven't spoken in 7 weeks. We haven't gotten that little dinner thing going. Summer's coming in. Tulips gone already. Pretty Betty, kiss me like you done before. Pick that bean, bang that door with a broken screen. Bang that door with a broken screen. Summer's hot and summer's humming. Look out now, your new friend's coming. Tenant Sandy, man and woman. It's time to break and make amends. And make it while the summer ends. Autumn is a friendly time. Sweaters, almonds, apple wine. Old people praying in the park. Children playing after dark. Teacher going back to work. Some roads are in disrepair. Snow is something new to the baby Donald, who sits in a stroller warm and young, while mommy smiles and points and talks. See the snowflake on my tongue, weary days and winter walks. Winter brings the solemn fear. Merciless, glorious, and real. I lost my job on the subway line. Finished up the apple wine. We haven't talked in a half a year. Winter sets the blade in me. I cannot fight its currency. Caught myself the Asian flu. Lost myself a day or two. Caught myself still loving you. Spring is coming soon. First buds popping in the trees. Green shoots poking through dead leaves. Damnation and the smell of ham. Come find me. I am where I am. Come find me. And when I called her, she was home. She was fine, but not alone. And I said, I am glad for you. I was proud and lonesome too. And spring has come again. The men are upholding their manhood, and the dogs are going to the dogs. We haven't spoken in a month. The neighborhood is changing a little. Some roads are in disrepair.
Andrew Calhoun, Live on Excursions. That guitar has some fine sustain.
Thank you. This is a Martin built this for women who complained because the dreadnought bodies were too big for them.
Huh.
So it's got the depth of a dreadnought and a narrower, small body. This is a 0016 dBm Women in Music Series Martin guitar.
Love it.
And I got this because I had crippling tendonitis for a year and a half. So I had to give up my big Martin, and eventually
the reaching around was more than the position could handle.
Yeah, it gets a few 25 years, and it'll catch up to you if you're not physically comfortable.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of what causes it is playing when you're emotionally distressed and you're unaware of that. Like your muscles are tight and you play, because if you're relaxed, you can get away with a lot. Relaxing is what life is all about, Nikki.
I will give you that.
I turned 60 this year, and I'm beginning to relax.
Andrew Calhoun. They say, you know, that when accidents occur and someone's drunk and someone isn't, they're in the same accident, the drunk person just almost always walks away. Because they're very relaxed, I imagine.
Yeah. It applies to so many things.
Hmm.
Singing, you know. Let the body do its work. Get out of the way. Yeah.
Andrew Calhoun, a little sneak peek of what's happening tonight at the Glen Helen Building here in Yellow Springs. It is free to all Antioch faculty and staff. And
come on down.
And come on down. That was a suggested donation for everyone else, but an opportunity to see some fine folk singing, which we heard your song earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Folk singers are boring.
Yeah.
So funny. It's so funny.
Well, yeah. It's you just get aggravated after enough years at open mics and people trying to browbeat their audience.
Sing along. All together now.
Yeah.
Well, I love your wit, and I love the song you just sang. What was the name of that?
Roads in Disrepair.
Fabulous. Yeah. Sort of like I love moment songs. I think of them as moment songs.
Yeah.
And like the whole song really just exists in a moment, but this was the moments of the seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, very nice. You have a new record out with your daughter, is that right?
Yeah, called Skeins.
What does that mean?
A skein, S-K-E-I-N.
Is that yarn? Skeins of yarn?
Yeah, a skein of yarn. It also refers to like a V of flying geese is a skein of geese. So it's that sense of patterns. And we did a song called Open the Door Softly, Irish, by an Irish playwright. And it has a line, skeins of shining water ask you patiently to hear. So it's a beautiful image.
So it's like an arrowhead, more like I can picture that on the top of water.
Well, I think it's the coil of yarn more in the shining water. That's what I picture, but could be either, you know. And my girlfriend Melissa is good at naming things, so she picked out the title.
Wonderful.
And I know she's listening back home. So.
Hello, hello, lovely title picker. Thank you for listening, and thanks for the title.
Picker.
There are worse things to pick. We're in studio with Andrew Calhoun. He's live on stage tonight at the Glen Helen Building. Again, that show gets underway at 7 o'clock. I want to talk to you about a lot of things, but I also want to hear you play. That was just lovely. I want to talk about this somewhat groundbreaking co-op that you started up in Chicago. I want to talk about your work with some of the earliest sort of scholarly reckonings of Robert Burns. But I'd actually right now really love to hear another song.
Okay, well, I'll play a Burns song.
Wonderful.
And then we'll talk about it. I'll do three of the four verses here. And now let's see. It's called Corn Rig Zarbani. A rig is a ridge, and they would grow their... Corn means grain in the UK. So it's don't visualize corn, but this would be wheat, oats, rye. They separated barley out from that.
I wonder why.
Because barley was brewable. It was in its own category, you know. Lammas here, upon a Lammas night, that would be the 1st of August, which was the festival for consecration of the new bread. Burns was into consecrating even more than that, as we'll hear. It was upon a Lammas night when corn ricks are bonny beneath the moon's unclouded light. I went away to Annie. Time flew by with tentless heat between the late and early.
With small persuasion she agreed to see me through the barley. Corn ricks and barley ricks, and corn ricks are bonny. I'll never forget that happy night among the rigs with Annie. The sky was blue, the wind was still, the moon was shining clearly. I set her down with a right goodwill among the rigs of barley. I kent her heart was all mine, I loved her most sincerely. I kissed her o'er and o'er again among the rigs of barley. Corn ricks and barley ricks, corn ricks are bonny. I'll never forget that happy night among the rigs with Annie. I have been blithe with comrades dear, I have been merry drinking, I have been joyful gathering gear, I have been happy thinking. But all the pleasures ere I saw, three times doubled fairly, that happy night was worth them all among the rigs of barley. Corn ricks and barley ricks, and corn ricks are bonny. I'll never forget that happy night among the rigs with Annie.
Listen to that sustain. Beautiful, wonderful song, and just a fabulous guitar. So
thank
I'm
you.
Thinking, do you know what year is attributed that the lyrical making of
it's
that
early.
Song?
Well, Robert Burns born in 1759 and lived to 1796, so he lived 37 years.
So short.
Yeah, during which he left us 700 letters, 280 poems, 370 songs. Most of his life he was working as a farmer or exciseman. He only had a year and a half of his sort of celebrity when he traveled and stuff.
What were the circumstances around his death? I forget. I'm sorry.
He was slandered by a jealous biographer after his death, Robert Heron, as if he had drunk himself to death, which is not the case. He strained his heart in his adolescence, and he died of endocarditis. So that's what they think. He had a cyclical disorder, which would begin in the stomach and attended by anxiety and depression. And he just fought through this, you know. By the time, he was the eldest of seven, and his father was, you know, a poor farmer. I mean, most of the farmers in Scotland were poor, and there was no safety net. So they were living on oatmeal in part of his adolescence. And his father married older and his health was breaking down. So Burns became the principal laborer on the farm. And just quite a man, Robert. I was asked by a DJ named Lily Kuzma. Do you know where she is?
I've heard the name.
Yeah, she's on WDCB in Glen Ellen, Illinois, where I live. And 4 or 5 years ago, it was only 4 years ago, she asked me to play a set of Burns songs for Burns Night. And I've become more and more of a researcher over the years for things that are under my nose. I want to learn more about them.
Mm-hmm.
And the internet makes it easy. So,
are you saying that this Burns quest really only started these 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Clearly you've thrown yourself in.
I've thrown myself in. I did a book of, I translated his Scots poems into English. And when I separated the poems from the songs, the world's foremost poet of love wrote not a single love song, love poem. They're all songs. They all had melodies.
Oh.
So from that, you know, young Bob Dylan in Minnesota saw My Love is Like a Red, Red Rose in a textbook. And he credits Burns as his greatest inspiration, turned him onto poetry.
Did not know that.
Yeah. Burns was a collector. He's like Alan Lomax. Do you want his life story? Have we got time?
I kind of do. I really All appreciate right. this context.
Well, his early poems were punking the Calvinist ministers of the
really?
District. So he had his enemies, you know, and these poems.
But he had
would,
some vim, a little sass.
Yeah, he was a what's her name? Eddie Reader called him a young Bob Dylan, you know.
Oh, that's a great collection she has of his stuff. I love that. Jamie, mm-hmm. Come Try Me, one of my favorite songs.
Yeah, she fell in love with him. What people need to know about Burns is that he didn't write a melody in his life. All his songs, except maybe one or two, were composed to specific melodies. He played the fiddle. He was a tune head. He got his hands on every tune collection he could. And he wrote the songs to those melodies.
To previously extant.
Like Rodgers and Hart would work together.
Yeah.
And he was trying to preserve the national music of Scotland. And this was a political thing. I mean, his book was called Poems Chiefly in the Scottish Dialect.
Yeah.
And the whole upper class was going to England, you know. Even his father wanted to speak proper English. And there was this incredible vernacular culture, which he got from his mother. She, lots of oral tradition. His mother didn't read.
Oh. See, I'm getting chills like every third sentence that you're saying here.
His father was a liberal Presbyterian whose family was ruined by the Jacobite rebellions and the fallout for that. His father was a landscaper, actually, and then a gardener and then a farmer.
Hmm.
But he got with five other, he married a younger woman. He came down to Ayrshire in western Scotland. Married Agnes Brune, whom he met at a fair, this red-haired woman. She was full of life and songs. She liked some pretty earthy stuff, you know. The Scots tend to be that way.
Frank, do you have Scottish heritage? Is this a part of the resonance with you?
It's a Scots-Irish name.
Uh-huh.
Calhoun. I'm Jewish on my mother's side. So, yeah, all that's going on.
Yeah.
But the father, there were five farm families who hired a young teacher from Edinburgh named John Murdoch, who came out and, you know, they'd board and take turns boarding him and he would teach the kids. And he was 18. He had brilliant teaching ideas, one of which was he would give them, you know, Alexander Pope's poetry and have them turn it into prose to show that they understood the ideas. So Burns was, you know, he was studying Milton and Shakespeare. And so you get this a genuine oral tradition person who's also got this incredible literary training and skill. He's the only major poet to emerge from the peasant class, you know, from that period of history.
Oh, think
so
of that.
He's a truly extraordinary figure. So he's the eldest of seven. He incurred his father's wrath by taking dancing lessons.
Well.
He loved, you know, I think he was a pagan at heart, you know.
Hmm.
But he joined the Masons and he had a debating club and so on.
What a remarkable human.
We're just getting started.
Yeah.
His father, Burns, was 25. He'd gone to, he tried to set up a flax business, which is pretty hard work. They had what's called a heckling rake. It's a flax rake. We get the word to heckle from that.
Oh.
And they'd have to, you know, draw the flax across these, basically a bed of nails, you know.
Oh.
And it was pretty unhealthy, and his health wasn't good anyway. Fortunately, his partner's wife got drunk on New Year's Eve and burned the building down.
Fortunately.
And he went back to live with his, you know, family.
So to be heckled is to be raked over the nails.
Yes.
Wow.
Word heckle.
Oh.
I'll tell you something else about Scots. Their word for ear is lug. These are your lugs. You know, and their dogs rhymes with lugs. But we have, you know, when we put an ear on a box and carry it around, we call it luggage.
Right.
Yeah.
And we lug even the verb to lug.
Yeah.
Oh.
Isn't that cool?
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. I learned so much from learning the Scots.
Now I
can
knowledge.
Listen to, you know, like Dick Gochan sing a ballad and I can actually follow it like it's my language.
Oh.
But, the tricky thing is that there are words in common, like silly in Scots doesn't mean goofy and trivial. It means like poor, like frail, like the poor sheep, the silly sheep on the hill.
Oh.
They use it that way. And the word gate means the way or the road.
Not an opening
like the
in
Watergate
a barrier.
Watergate Hotel, Watergate, that means the river road. Yeah.
And think about how gate now lives on to be tagged on to the end of every scandal. How interesting.
Yeah, how interesting.
So waterway.
Gate.
Goes on and on and on. Yeah. So they're talk about taking
yeah,
that
but it,
word
but
and
it
just...
means the way, yeah, wow. The road.
Yeah. We're in studio with Andrew Calhoun, a veritable fount of knowledge and context. I always appreciate context in anything. He's on stage tonight at the Rene Ecological Institute. We also call that the Glen Helen Building right here in Yellow Springs. Antioch staff, faculty, and students are available to attend for free. There is a suggested donation for keeping a little gas in the tank. Again, the show gets underway at 7 o'clock this evening right here in Yellow Springs. Andrew Calhoun with us live in studio. Play us another. I love the way you sound when you talk the way you sound when you sing.
I'll do another Burns song. And this is a famous song. To me, the scandal, if you've heard a half dozen Burns songs in your life, which Burns songs do you know?
The Love is Like a Red Rose and, okay. And the what my go-to whenever I think of Robert Burns when we're ever doing anything poetry is Eddie Reader's Jamie Come Try Me. I just love that almost more than anything.
That's actually the tune to that song.
Oh.
But, if you look on YouTube, you'll find 50 iterations of A Red, Red Rose, and none are sung to the tune that Burns wrote it to. The tune is called Major Gordon of Inchibraik, which was written by Neil Gow, who's the legendary fiddler of 18th century Scotland. So you'll hear the lightning bug in the lightning with this. I don't understand why people don't sing the melodies he wrote his songs to, because they're... He's.
Why would some of them have done that? I mean, this had to be posthumous years
later. I don't know, but it
later.
Continues to this day. And My Heart's in the Highlands is another one. Westland Winds, that's not Burns' tune. And that song has never been matched up correctly to the lyrics. So.
How do you know this? I don't doubt you do. How do you come? How did you put a two and two and make this four? How did you do that?
Well, in the one I'm about to do, which is less complex, I simply, we have Burns' letters. He said, I wrote this to Major Gordon, which you'll find in Neil Gow's first book of tunes. And it's archived online. Every source book he used
every
is archived.
Every source book.
All you have to do is look them up. But the thing is, here's the usual tune. My love is like a red, red rose that's newly sprung in June. Very romantic, isn't it?
Maybe that's why somebody took that liberty.
I didn't even like the song, honestly. I never liked it. I thought it was a piece of sentimental slush.
Yeah.
And I was thought, well, I'll put it in my book because it's famous. And then I heard it with a tune. It was like,
wait,
the rose springs with his tune. In fact, it springs an octave off a grace note, which that particular musical effect I haven't seen in any other tune in a Scottish book. So that's the level of engagement he had with the tune itself.
Wow.
And the other thing going on here that you can't hear with any other tune is it starts this way. Oh, my love's like a red, red rose. He says, my love. Now, with the emphasis on my, which most singers phrase away from to go, my love, he goes... If you literally take the music, it goes, oh, my love's like a red, red rose. And then he says, so fair art thou, my bonny lass. And the last phrase, he puts everything together. Though it were 10 thou's and mile. Here we go. Oh, my love's like a red, red rose that's newly sprung in June. Oh, my love's like the melody that's sweetly played in tune. As fair art thou, my bonny lass, so deep in love am I. And I will love thee still, my dear, till all the seas gang dry. Till all the seas gang dry, my dear, and the rocks melt with the sun. And I will love thee still, my dear.
the sands, oh, life shall run. Then fare thee well, my only love, and fare thee well a while, and I will come again, my love, though it were 10,000 miles.
Isn't that beautiful?
That is beautiful.
So imagine 200 years from now, if there were 50 people on YouTube singing Yesterday, and they'd all made up their own tune as a tribute
right.
to Paul McCartney.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh. Is there any trick to Auld Lang Syne?
Well, that's not the tune. I'll tell you about Auld Lang Syne.
I want to hear it. We're in studio, I'll remind you, with Andrew Calhoun on stage tonight at Glen Helen Building at 7 o'clock.
Mr. Burns had two publishers. One was James Johnson. Can I go back and trace a little more biography?
Please, please, please.
Burns is 25 years old, and his father, on his deathbed, says to him and his youngest sister, Isabel, who told this story in about 1850, "There's one person in the family whose moral conduct I worry about for the future." Robert said, "Father, is it me?" And he said, "Yes." Respected patriarch. Robert is crying by the window. Robert gets up in the morning, and someone has killed his collie and left it on the doorstep. Out of this moment, there's a complete, like, it's like a bursting into flames. He wrote all of his famous poems in the next 18 months, except Tam O'Shanter. This, I mean, long, 25 verse, you know, "The Cotter's Saturday Night," and "To a Mouse," and "To a Louse," and you know.
Again, our line, the chills, my goodness.
Our phrase, "Man's Inhumanity to Man," is from a Burns song.
Oh, and this... horrific event did...
Horrific. I mean, on, you know, those things on top of each other. It's just...
Oh. did we find out the why? Did anyone ever know?
Well, I mean, his father was right. He impregnated the servant girl shortly thereafter and then got another woman pregnant with whom he was in love, Jean Armour. Her parents hated Burns, this poor farmer who was punking the church and, you know. And so... they made up a marriage agreement signed, which would have been legal under Scottish law at the time. Jean Armour's father took it to an attorney and had their names cut out.
What?
And Burns was cut to the quick and felt betrayed by Jean Armour, and he went off and had another love affair with Mary Campbell, who may have been pregnant also when she died of a fever. Out of all of this chaos, then, Jean Armour's father is trying to get Robert put in prison. He was living as a fugitive, literally, on couches. And he published his book, poems chiefly in the Scottish dialect, in order to raise money for passage to Jamaica, where he had a job on Charles Douglas's slave plantation. He kept missing the boat, however. He published his book. He missed the boat at least twice. He didn't want to do this, and it would have killed him physically and morally.
So he did it. Maybe he missed it on purpose. He didn't want to.
He had compassion for everything. He couldn't. I mean, it would have killed him, you know, or else he would have become an abolitionist poet. But it was just a period of history. So anyway, that's what West Country boys who got girls in trouble ended up doing. His friend James Smith died in Jamaica, you know.
Is that what took Hamilton, Alexander Hamilton? I'm thinking there's Hamilton resonances between these two. He was
I don't know enough about him.
Exiled. Interesting.
I don't know enough about him. But so he published his book and, you know, Scotch Drink. I mean, it was perfectly directed to the pride of Scotland. Mm. And it took off like John Pryor. It was crowdfunded. By subscription. It was just like a Kickstarter.
You know, really? By subscription?
Yes. That's how they funded the printing. But it sold out 600 copies in like 3 months, which is in a sparsely pop. It was John Prine's first record, you know.
Aww.
He borrowed a pony, rode to Edinburgh, and someone connected him to the Masonic gentry who presented him to all of these rich guys as Caledonia's Bard. That's the old Latin name for Scotland. And they all subscribed to his second edition. He sold the copyright. He got his entire birth family out of debt.
Oh.
bought a farm and married Jean.
Aww.
When he was in Edinburgh, he met a man named James Johnson, who was publishing the Scots Musical Museum, which was going to be 200 songs. And they hit it off. Burns became the anonymous editor. And that's when he really only wrote one serious poem for the rest of his life. He dedicated his life to writing songs to great Scottish tunes and preserving Scottish culture.
And so doing, so, enshrining these collections of notes in that order at that pacing. And yet someone went back and monkeyed with that.
Mm-hmm. So he had an outlet. After he sold his book, he never accepted a penny for his writing. He worked as a farmer again, and then again it was lousy land, and he ended up pulling some strings, and he got a job as an exciseman, which is a tax assessor, which they were basically busting bootleggers. It was not a popular position. But he said, "I would rather lend honor to my profession than have my profession lend honor to me."
Ooh, that's, you don't see that much.
No, he just had this wisdom about him. But, you know, he got worked. He was riding a horse 200 miles through the snow in the winter for, you know, for his job. So he was working on songs the whole time. So the Scots Musical Museum, under his stewardship, became 600 songs. So he struck a huge blow for Scottish culture. It's incalculable.
A victorious blow.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds negative, struck a blow, but it's like struck a victory for...
Struck a blow.
Yeah.
Victory. And Auld Lang Syne, he also wrote for another publisher later. And this guy was, well, what they would call a poetaster. He hired, like, European composers like Haydn to arrange these. And
really?
But he had no respect for, you know, he was telling Beethoven he should write simpler music.
Oh, no. Too many notes kind of thing.
And he was changing Burns's lyrics. I mean, people had to go dig stuff out. But Auld Lang Syne was an existing song that he rewrote. So it already had a tune. Published it to a tune to another song called O Can Ye Labor Lee, which means, O can ye plow a field, which is a sexual metaphor, which is a favorite song of his mother's.
Oh.
So it's not a bad tune, you know. I'll sing you a verse of the original.
Yeah.
Let's see. Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot, and auld lang syne, for auld lang syne, my dear, for auld lang syne, we'll take a cup o' kindness yet, for auld lang syne. That's the original tune. It's more reflective and more appropriate to the sentiment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like one of the features here is the excursions version of what we celebrate, cover songs, and it's almost like people turned his music into cover songs of his own music. That's notable. And who knew? You knew.
It was quite a bit of detective work to figure out why. Like Westland Winds was revived by, you know, the great Dick Gochan in the 80s. It's an incredible version of it. And it's an appropriate tune to the feeling of that. But it's not Burns. And there are moments in the Burns that are... I don't know if I can do any more Burns here. But what happened to that song is he wrote it when he was 17. He published it in his book... And he said, in both editions of his book, this is to the tune, I had a horse, I had nae mair. I had a horse, I had no more, which was a humorous Ayrshire ballad. And then he sent it a couple of years later to Scott's Musical Museum, and he said, put it with the tune Port Gordon. The scholars have all decided that he preferred that tune. The thing is, Scott's Musical Museum would not reprint melodies. That's why.
Oh, so there was a gap that people filled.
Yeah, it doesn't mean he didn't like his original tune.
Uh-huh.
And really, you can't, if you're a songwriter and you write a song to a tune, That's the tune. You can't improve on it. You can't. Paul McCartney couldn't write a better tune to Yesterday. That's that moment of fusion, of creation. But the other problem with Westland Winds is that he never got to see it to print with the music. Burns played fiddle. Did I say that?
You did say that. Yeah, I wondered also, is it? Did he play other instruments, or was that his?
No, he played fiddle, and he had a rough voice. He didn't really like to sing in company. He always collaborated with women singers to hear them outside his head. His wife was a great singer, Jean Armour. I'll sing you just a couple of moments from this one because.
Would love
I don't
it.
Know what time it is, and there's other things in the world besides Robert. I'm nuts about him. So here was the problem. And scholars have, with the early songs, on a couple tunes, they've just plain guessed wrong on the tune. Mary Morrison and John Barleycorn, they have the wrong tune, and they don't match it well. And this one...
Is John Barleycorn? I'm so ignorant. Is that this tune I would have been introduced to by the band Traffic?
It's the same song. It was already a folk song. He wrote a 15-verse version of it.
Okay.
Yeah. But this one, if you take it literally, if you look at the words and you look at the notes, it comes out like this. Now Westland winds and slaughterin' guns. No, Westland winds and slaughterin' guns bring autumn's pleasant weather. The moorcock springs on whirring wings. So it's like jumping an octave on and on. And I sang it for a while, and then I realized that's not what he meant. Like, if you just combine two notes, the whole thing clicks on the rhymes. So it comes out. Now Westland winds and slaughterin' guns bring autumn's pleasant weather. The moorcock springs on whirring wings among the bloomin' heather. Now waving grain wide o'er the plain delights the weary farmer. And the moon shines bright as I rove at night to muse upon my charmer. So if you come tonight, you'll hear the whole song.
Yeah. And I hope you do. It's on campus, over at the Glen Helen Building, also known as the Rene Ecological Institute. Show gets underway at 7 o'clock tonight. Andrew Calhoun is the name. And, I want to talk about, well, first of all, thank you. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I appreciate history and context and meaning and relativity very much. And thanks for those melodies. And so you've recorded these? Have these all made it to?
It's what I have is a 32-page introduction and 165 songs scored and translated and when necessary. He wrote some in English, some in full Scots and some in a hybrid. I was thinking it was a book, but I have this new website, and I can put up songs to stream and lyrics and sell tabs, and that way it would be accessible to everyone.
Wonderful.
So that over the next couple of years, I think some of the tunes are terribly difficult to get in your head. The Strathspey melodies. Do you know what a Strathspey is?
I don't.
Well... In Scottish fiddle music, it's that bum, ta ta da da ta ta da that those snaps back and forth. When Americans start swinging the rhythm, we swing everything. And so to get a complex tune in your head, it takes a while. So I don't want to – I want to record them exactly as they're written in the music so ear musicians will have a model to learn them from.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Which speaks to something else I wanted to talk about, this sort of your – clearly, a part of your mission and motivation is to make things available to everyone. Let's talk about the record label that you founded in Chicago, which I don't know. I've not heard of another that was certainly successful and sort of just altruistic. But you gathered together musicians as a co-op, more or less.
Yeah.
And together made a mechanism for distributing records and CDs when that was the way to get out to the public. And in the course of that also, everyone retains the rights to their own music.
You know it all, yeah. That was
Who
the idea.
Who does that?
That was the idea. Well, there's this
so
very oppositional business model between artists and labels. That's not helping anyone.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd think, like, the majors, that it would be in their interest to help someone develop a career, not just, oh, your record didn't make it, we're going to throw you out, like Kleenex. It's
exactly. Like, pressure's on.
Build a career, you know. I started Waterbug. I remember I was, it really happened because of the Kerrville Festival. I went down there in 1990. Remember in the 80s thinking, what happened to the songwriters? Have they all gone into software engineering? I wasn't hearing anything. I was not hearing a thing. And I went to Kerrville in 90. I met Cat Eggleston, heard Steve Fisher. And in 91, Michael McNevin was there and Hugh Blumenfeld, Gina Forsyth. I met all these people in one night, you know. And there was this amazing circle on Chapel Hill. And it was just incredible songs. Hugh and Diane Schottkowski sang a couple of Richard Schindel songs, and I'd never heard him. He was just starting. It was like,
Oh,
this is a renaissance. And there was this moment, we walked down the Chapel Hill, and there was a circle of stones, and the sun was coming up, and we were still trading songs and singing. And I remember McNevin did Castaway, which is still the most beautiful song about friendship I've ever heard. And then Margot Hennebach sang a Susan Osborne prayer, which was a love song to God. It wasn't a prayer for anything. I'd never heard anything like it.
Mm.
And nobody spoke for 5 minutes. And it was the first time in my life I experienced being in a group where everyone present respected the sacred. Nobody didn't feel that. And it was very liberating, you know, instead of feeling like, you know, gosh, I remember in high school, they showed us Night and Fog, you know, they show footage from the Holocaust, and you're just sitting there speechless, and everyone begins chattering as soon as it's over, and you're just thinking, what world is this that anyone could speak after that? So it was that was the moment, and I remember writing to my brother and saying, I want to start a record label and get America's Real Singing Poets on the airwaves. It was a pipe dream, and then I went and got a DBA, and
it's a legal mechanism for...
In 92, I was putting out Hope, and I was talking to Cozy Sheridan there, and we just came up with this co-op idea because she was putting out a record anyway. But the only way you can get national distribution is to have a flow of product.
Right.
So I thought, well, if enough of us are funding our own records, we can get national distribution. And we did, you know. And we had Dar Williams for 6 months. We had the Honesty Room. So that was part of how we got with Distribution North America, which had been rounder. Everything kept collapsing, that whole business, but we survived. You know, Waterbug is the name of the label, and
I was thinking about. That's because that's what you were doing. This bug seems very improbably able to walk on top of the water on these 6 points,
yeah.
And yet here it is, and moves faster than you can catch it.
Yeah, that was the idea.
Awesome.
It's on the surface tension of the water, light on its feet. It's sort of dormant now because people aren't buying CDs.
They aren't
buying
CDs.
And I'm not on the street. I'm taking care of my dad. I'm not really a caregiver, but he's 91, so he needs somebody around. So I'm not.
Is he in Chicago?
I'm not at Kerrville or Focal Ants, and I feel like I have enough projects.
Sounds like you have had, but I hope to think that you continue to as well. Mr. Calhoun, Andrew Calhoun, live in studio. What a delightful. We've almost spent the majority of this hour, and it just seems like you just sat down to talk. I really appreciate your being here today. Appreciate you being here in Yellow Springs, playing tonight at the Glen Helen Building. That's just off of Corey Street here, 405 Corey, as a matter of fact. If somebody wanted to touch base with you, connect with you online, what's the best way to do that?
They could write to me at andrew@waterbug.com. That's the simplest.
Straightforward. Andrew@waterbug.com. And if people were interested in this fabulous work you're doing with the remarrying the songs to the melodies of Robert Burns, that would be, is there a website for that at this point?
Not yet.
Yeah. Well, you'll let us know when there is, please.
I will. It'll just be at andrewcalhoun.com, but I will eventually establish a Robert Burns section. I've got Westland Winds on YouTube. It's getting some attention.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Will you do us one of your own before we wrap this hour?
Yeah, this is This is completely different feeling. I wrote this actually in 76, but I've...
The bicentennial year.
I've reworked it lately. And in support of those kids in Park, my feeling. It's called Freedom Road. One of these days, the sun is gonna rise. Things are gonna look different around here. Bells are gonna ring, people are gonna sing, and every voice is gonna come out clear. One of these days won't be long. People are gonna have to see what's wrong. Open your eyes, get wise. Got to quit passing these sins along. Cause there's too much suffering in this world. Too much lying, too much poison, too much pressure in this world. Too much dying in this world. Running out of matches, running out of time. Forgotten crimes meet our eyes. Go see outside what starts in pride. Muck in the oceans, smoke in the skies. We're getting close to the beginning, getting closer to the end. Don't you know it? If we blow it, or we don't get to start again. Hold a candle while you might. Anyone may bear a light. Got to run, got to fight. Got to get some sleep tonight. Tell me again about heaven on the hill. Tell me again you love me true. I think I can, hope I will go so far as to trust in you. And I hope that you are not in trouble. Hope that you are never lost. Though if you are, by cross or star, we'll meet again in the Holocaust. Never count the cost of the struggle. Never mind the weight of the load we carry. Through the lies and poison, gonna stagger down Freedom Road. One of these days, sun is gonna rise. Things are gonna look different around here. Bells are gonna ring and people gonna sing, and every voice is gonna come out clear. Every voice is gonna come out clear. Freedom Road. Thank you, Nikki.
Thank you, Andrew Calhoun.
Thanks for letting me blather on.
I thank you for letting us all be along for that ride. What an absolute delight. Seems like sometimes when you talk to people, it feels like you've just had a really lovely, long walk. And I feel like that's what we took together. Thank you so much. AndrewCalhoun.com, a way to connect. You can write to Andrew directly, Andrew@waterbug.com. Thanks for shining a little light toward the path of hope and with your work at Waterbug, and also... with that song and with Robert Burns. I look forward to that complete work. Thank you so much.
Thank you.